IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Shooting Space. I hope we've all recovered from the crazy championship weekend that we experienced. There were some really awesome games, and I'm so excited to have Sam Jaffe on today to talk about the championships and also the WPLL season starting up this coming weekend, which I'm very pumped about. Sam, say hello to the people, introduce yourself, tell us what you're up to.
Hey guys, yep, so Sam Jaffe. I played lacrosse at Stony Brook all 4 years. I graduated in 2017. After I graduated, I actually stayed at Stony Brook for about 2 years as a grad assistant in marketing. And then I actually work with Kylie O'Miller, a name I'm sure we all know very well, doing a lot of her marketing and digital media and YouTube stuff as well. But now I work for the WPLL, so the Women's Professional Lacrosse League, running a lot of social media and marketing, digital media and all that stuff. So it's been very busy since I graduated and played lacrosse, but loving every minute of it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And as I mentioned in the intro, so happy to have you on. I think we followed each other on Twitter for so long, and it's just been so exciting to follow, you know, from you being at Stony Brook and then to being grad assistant and now working in media and in marketing. I think what you're doing is so instrumental for the women's game, and I love the excitement and the joy that you bring and the way you represent these athletes in such an amazing way. So props to you for that, and I'm pumped to watch you continue. So
appreciate that.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you started playing lacrosse?
Yeah, so I my friends hate when people ask this question, like where I grew up, where I started playing lacrosse, stuff like that, because it's kind of all over the place. But my whole family, we all moved to Naples, Florida. So I pretty much grew up in Florida, where lacrosse isn't much of a hotbed there. But a couple of my friends one day were like, you know, let's go play lacrosse. So I was like, I honestly didn't even know much about it. I knew of it, but it wasn't, like I said, it just wasn't big down there. I was big into basketball and I played a little bit golf. But so one day I just like, you know, went with them for the fun of it. And I fell in love with it the second I literally touched the stick. And I never looked back to any other sport, really. I loved basketball. I played in high school, but I knew I wanted to play lacrosse in college for sure. So and then, you know, I joined a club team, Lax Maniacs, shout out, played with them. And honestly, the coaches there really taught me the game and the fundamentals of it. And then, you know, I got recruited to Stony Brook, and that's where I went to college.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Maniacs. I have gotten to spend time with a couple of the coaches, and I'm always so amazed with how passionate and so just knowledgeable in the way that they teach their players. Shout out to Coach Gooey, one of my favorite coaches. I'm sure you know who Gooey is.
Yeah, Gooey was my she was my coach. She's the absolute best coach
ever. And she had a great season at Benjamin, but I won't go down that rabbit hole of talking about our club teams. But wow, yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, you mentioned going from Florida and really kind of learning the game, learning from these amazing coaches. And I feel like that's kind of the path that you've been on. You know, what was it like playing under Coach Spallina and learning from him?
Yeah, a lot of people want to know what it's like to play for Coach Joe Spallina. The ultimate question, let me tell you. It's hard to, honestly, it's hard to put it into a couple words or a sentence because every day is so different. But he honestly is so passionate about the sport that you know, as soon as you play for him, or as soon as like the day one, you know, he'll put into your head that, you know, you better love this sport and we're gonna get every ounce of potential out of you, you know, here at Stony Brook. And he did, honestly, like I will say, it was the best 4 years of my life. You know, he shapes every person that walks through there. You know, he shaped me into the person I am today, you know, on the lacrosse field and the professional world. And so, you know, we all bought into his mentality, his fast pace, and his vision. And, you know, the ultimate goal was to win a national championship. And look, we got very close some years. But, you know, so that was the ultimate goal every single day, was to win a national championship and do it with, the, you know, your friends and your family next to you by your side every day. And that was something that, you know, has stuck with me forever. And the people around you will make the team and the culture. And, you know, honestly, he was the best coach I've ever had. So I loved playing for him for sure.
That's awesome. I always love to hear, you know, people talk about their coaches and the impacts that they've made, and what you mentioned about making an impact on the field for you and off the field as well. I think that's so big, because we are spending so much time with these coaches and learning so much from them. So it's awesome when there's lessons that you can apply, you can apply to both. So, you know, transitioning from, you worked as a grad assistant at Stony Brook and got into the marketing field. Did you study marketing while you were a student as well?
So no, I actually did not. I took a 360 my senior year. I actually majored in health sciences. I thought I wanted to go to PA school or, you know, take the medical route, because my entire family, they're all doctors. So I always tell people, I'm like, you know, it's what you grew up with and I was comfortable with that I thought I wanted to do that. And I wasn't bad at it. It just wasn't, I wasn't passionate about it. And I couldn't see myself, you know, being in an office like that. You know, I have a lot of energy. People that know me, I can't be like contained in a small space. So I found my senior year, an internship in the athletic department through marketing. And I didn't know if I was going to like it. I honestly just did it for fun, because I was doing everything my senior year. I was the president of SAC. I was running around the athletic department, and, you know, people were trying to pull me into different directions of, you know, in your athletic department, there's so many different ways you can do, but I fell in the path of marketing, and I really liked it, because you could be creative. You can kind of do whatever you want. Like, there's no wrong answer, you know, when you're trying new things and trying to get, you know, people to buy into, you know, your athletic department and create more fans. So I loved it, and I took off from that internship, and then they brought me back as a grad assistant for 2 years, and I got an immense amount of experience being at Stony Brook. I mean, it honestly has set me up for my future career, so yeah, I loved it, but I was not a marketing major.
Nice. And so, you know, what do you do with the WPLL? How did you get involved with them, and kind of what's your day-to-day?
Yeah, so I pretty much got involved with them because of Kylie. You know, they internally sent out a kind of a job description of, you know, do you guys know of anybody that would be really good at this job? And Kylie immediately sends it to me. She's like, hey, are you interested? Like, you know, they're looking for somebody to, you know, be the, you know, the head of marketing and digital media. And I read over the job description. I was like, honestly, yes, like, this is awesome. It's in the field that, you know, I want to be in. It's in, you know, the sport that I love and I know very well. I was like, why not? I applied. You know, they emailed me right away and they were like, yes, like, we know who you are pretty much. You know, we would love to have you, love to have you in the league. But pretty much what I do, I run a lot of the social media platforms that we have. So we have, you know, everything, and we're going to start our YouTube channel this season too. But I really work to draw the potential fans that, you know, WPLL has, while really strengthening the relationships with the current fans. And, you know, putting out engaging content and interacting and capitalizing on all the growing trends. It's super important for our game. As you know, I mean, you keep up with constantly looking, you know, for them and staying in touch with them. But that's pretty much what I do with them. And I'm pumped for the season. I actually haven't been to a game. I don't think I went to a game last year. Actually, I might have went to one. But I'm super pumped to be on the other side of things and get started with them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to see the YouTube channel. Like you mentioned, I feel like right now, especially videos are it's really drawing people to the game. And, you know, so as a player and now as a member of lacrosse media, a content producer, digital marketing, what's the shift that you've seen in how women's lacrosse is portrayed in the media? And that could be in terms of, you know, utilizing social media to increase the reach of our game, or something like YouTube, things like that. What's kind of the shift that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, starting from when we were, I mean, I guess we, but I'm a little older than you, but I think there's been a huge growth in social media and lacrosse. I mean, I think honestly, the PLL has put that into perspective. There are people that want to see, you know, behind the scenes and pretty much what is lacrosse. But I think, I mean, you and I are in special places where we can really empower women in sports through the power of the internet, really. And so I think there's been a huge growth in social media and, and that stuff and engaging content, because I mean we have the power to show what the sport truly is to other people. So yeah, I think there definitely is a huge growth in empowering lacrosse players around the world and showing them what it really is.
Yeah, definitely. I love what you said about empowering, and I think Hallie and I kind of touched on this a little bit last episode of like we're able to bring the hype and we're able to represent these athletes in a manner that I don't think was happening before. I think a lot of male lacrosse players, male athletes had the hype and they had all these different kinds of content being posted about them and edits and all these things. And now, like, we're bringing the force, and we've been slowly building to bring that force. So I'm excited to bring that same energy and to see that same energy with the WPLL, because everyone deserves accolades and the celebration that they've made it to this level. So it's awesome that
Yeah.
there's even more platforms for that. So getting into the good stuff, for those listening, I'm sure we've all seen the new team names and new logos for the WPLL teams. And I'm a little curious, what can you tell us about the thought process behind changing the names? I love the new names, love the old ones, love the old logos, love the new logos. Like,
Yeah.
to me, they're great. But I am a little curious about what caused the shift and what the shift represents moving forward for the league.
Yeah, definitely. So honestly, one of my first days when I went into the WPLL office, I mentioned like a rebranding change. So I mentioned let's drop the geo tags, because a lot of I'm friends with a lot of the players in the league, and they were getting constant questions of other fans asking, are you guys gonna be there all summer? Like, oh, do you have to move there all summer? Like, where's your home field? And questions like that about about the city or the state that like New York Fight, like where's your home field? But I don't even think, and last year we did play in New York, but a lot of the team names we weren't even playing in those states, so it didn't make sense really to keep them with the name. So I suggested that we drop the geotag, we drop the location with it, and just be the Brave, the Fight, the Fire, etc. So, and they love the idea, but that also came with making some new logos, because the logos that we had before kind of represented the city, like the Maryland, the Brave, the Baltimore Brave had the Maryland flag within the logo. So we obviously had to change that because we were dropping the city. But I think it's a very good thing, because now it just really makes sense, and we can kind of be versatile with the team names. So we've gotten a lot of really positive feedback from the players and fans. They love the new logos. Just like you said, you like them too. So I'm really excited to see the team uniforms this upcoming weekend at Gillette Stadium, and really represent these new logos. I'm pumped.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to see those too. So if you want to sneak me some photos beforehand so I can see them before everyone else, wink, wink.
Of course.
I'll use my privilege as friends to extract those. But no, that's so awesome.
Awesome.
That's so cool that, immediately you, as a fan and also as someone who understands the marketing realm, like you saw a gap and you figured out a way to fill it in. And I agree, that makes sense. Seeing the PLL model of not having cities in their names and those kind of things, I think it allows for maybe a little bit more of a degree of being able to connect to teams. But it's fun. It's a fun spin. It's something that we hadn't seen before, and it's something different. And I think that, especially for the WPLL, in terms of garnering more fans and whatnot, like this is just another great
Exactly.
way to reach people. So I'm pumped. I'm getting all the t-shirts. I can't pick one team. I feel obligated to support everyone
Right,
because I
I was
love
gonna ask
everyone.
you who you got this weekend coming up. Who you rooting
No,
for?
you know what?
That's
I don't want to, yeah, I don't want to single anyone out, but
okay.
I have my like secret,
That was a big test.
I have my secret favorites, but I'm waiting until like at least after the first couple games, or maybe after the first two games to really put that out there. I'm still recovering from this weekend of hardcore cheering for one team, but I feel like I always try to be pretty diplomatic about who I'm supporting. In the past, I'd be like, this is my team and this is all I care about. And now I'm like, well, everyone's really good, so
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's awesome, like to have on Twitter, really. I mean Instagram too, but really being that voice for other people who may not want to, kind of get off topic, but you picking, not picking one team, but being that voice for females around, you know, female athletes in that generation around the country, you know, I think it's super important, you know, and you've done an awesome job of kind of butting into conversations or in the comments section of just getting in there and being nitty gritty and really just like putting a stand to either mean things or things you have an opinion on. I think it's so cool over the years how you've built your brand and people know who you are. You know, even if it's not your name, your official last girl, but it, you know what I mean? It's awesome to have you, you know, in the lacrosse world and really being that statement person that people listen to.
Thank you.
I think
so
that's
much.
Awesome. And I appreciate yeah, that. Of course.
Very kind of you. Very kind of you. Yeah. It's been fun. I mean, I always think to like, in terms of the shift that I've done when I started my account, I was just, you know, basically like Rob Pinnell's number one fan page and just tweeting just like the most random things. But then the more that I've had this account for forever, it feels like, but the more I've grown and the more experiences I've had as a female athlete and as a female, then also as an athlete and seeing some of the inequalities that we face, I'm kind of like, the veil is off, you know, I'm over it. And I always want to represent us positively, but also call out things that I don't agree with. So I like to think that I had maybe like 2% of an impact for ESPN putting those games on TV. I probably yeah. didn't, but you know what? It's fine.
We had a meeting with ESPN. We went there to the headquarters in Connecticut, which was awesome, by the way, because I've never been there and it was just a crazy atmosphere. But we went there and kind of pitched getting the WPLL on ESPN or whatever channel, you know, a family of channels that ESPN has. And we landed with ESPN3 for all the regular season games. And then for the championship, we got ESPNU. Yeah, pumped about it. But definitely, I think, you know, they know that there's a need for it and there's a want. And that, you know, I think you definitely had an impact on that for sure. Don't even, I admit, 2%, I'd raise that to maybe like 20, 25.
Ooh, that's so much percent. Thank you. as long as no one ESPN's annoyed at me, we're good. We're good. But no, that's so exciting. I mean, I'm pumped to, like, I love just watching lacrosse on the couch and like chilling, enjoying my weekend, enjoying my day. So this is perfect. And I have so much love for the WPLL and what y'all are doing and how each, like, I feel like there's always an announcement about some kind of elevation and the belief. I think that's the biggest, most important part is like I can tell as a consumer, as a viewer, that y'all believe in what you're doing. And I think that makes a world of a difference. Like, this isn't just, oh, like, we're going to try and see. It's like, nope, we're here. Let's go. Like, get this on TV. So, mad props.
Exactly.
Mad props to y'all. Mad props. And
yeah, we want people to believe in, like, the vision that, you know, we've created and invest in us. You know, don't just, you know, be there along the ride. Like, we want you to invest in what we're doing because we're going to make it happen regardless of which path we have to take. So, yeah, I agree for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely looking at the future. And in terms of, so this weekend is opening weekend. Do we call it opening weekend?
Yeah, we can call it opening weekend. I like that. It is opening weekend, right? It's the first game. Yeah opening weekend.
It feels pretty big. It feels like a really big deal, and I'm very excited. And so WPLL first games are going to be at Gillette. So how pumped are you about that? I don't think I've been to Gillette. Maybe for a championship, but I don't think I've been there.
I'm super excited. I am not a Pats fan, though. Let me tell you, not excited to be in the home of actually, I won't. You know, I'm kidding, because I'm a big Eagles fan. And we beat them a couple years ago, so I'm just gonna keep repping that the whole time I'm there.
Yeah, take the victory.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but I'm super excited. It's a huge venue for us. It's one of our doubleheaders with the PLL, who will be playing there as well alongside us. So super excited for that. I'm hoping we have a great turnout. We've sold a bunch of tickets, you know, and the PLL has helped too. But I'm you know, super excited to be there this weekend. And you know, are you going?
I will not be there. Side note, one of my best friends is coming to town, so I'm giving her the tour of Atlanta. But I will be supporting.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, no, better watch it on TV.
Of course, of course. And she's not really a lacrosse fan, but one of my other best friends is. So we're going to be watching and cheering, and we'll teach her all about the game. That's how I rope everyone in.
It's a life to hear.
Yeah, roping the whole family in. But man, yeah, that's awesome to see the growth and in terms of the double header. I think that's gonna be really awesome because best of both worlds, watching a bunch of the best athletes compete in our sport. And so what are some of the, I guess, the biggest kind of rule differences that we can expect from comparing the WPLL to the college game? Because I know a couple of viewers, are transitioning from going and watching college, and now we're gonna be watching the pros. So what are some things we should keep an eye out for that make the game
Yeah,
exciting?
definitely. I mean, I would just name two of the biggest differences. I mean, you have a 2-point line, and then the restraining line is the 50-yard line instead of the 30s. But everything else is pretty much the same. It's not. I played professionally for a year back when the UWX was still there, and it was not the biggest transition. There were just a few things to remember, but it wasn't crazy. But it's definitely. It's a faster paced game, I'd say. And I mean, my opinion, I think the refs let a lot more slide. because when I played, I took a lot of 2-pointers and I didn't get shooting space. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, man, those, I mean, so shout out to the refs that were reffing the championship games this weekend. I thought, honestly, probably
Yeah.
one of the best reffing groups I've seen. They were very consistent, but they did not like those dangerous shots. Like,
No.
and I guess maybe that's a consistent for the
Yeah.
whole season. Like, not a lot of refs enjoy seeing our super fast, whippy shots.
Yeah.
Interesting enough to bring out the 2-point line. I think that it almost makes it, I don't want to say safer because I don't know all the metrics behind it, but it seems a little bit better because at least you're farther away, so your shot and your stick follow through is less likely to hit someone. So.
Yeah, I mean, I sure. I mean, if there's nobody directly in front of you, yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
But
because
I
I.
think it makes it, it gives more of a thrill to the game when you have a 2-point line. It's pretty cool to shoot from outside the eight.
For sure, for sure. And playing pro, I mean, what was that like? And I kind of, I guess I skipped over that portion, but for those that don't know, she played pro.
Yeah, so
What?
I don't think I mentioned it. It was just for one season, but. It was very cool coming out of college and playing, in your first professional game. I actually like, I don't know, I think it was just being so excited. I scored like a bunch of 2-pointers. I had a BTB. I was just balling out in this game, and playing with players that I've idolized, before, when I was younger. So it was just crazy to be a part of something like that and kids running up to you for asking for an autograph after games. It was just an awesome atmosphere that, we've created. For people that are about to graduate at their collegiate level, because it's not over yet. People like, I've been seeing a lot of tweets that they didn't want to see the do or the the three BC, the big, I don't know what you call it, it's not a duo, but the big three at BC.
Yeah, BC.
They're not done yet.
Right.
Sam Apuzzo and all of them. So, I think having a pro league is just it's just awesome. And it's not over yet for people that, are still playing, which is just awesome. Awesome mindset to have.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And great pointing out that it's not over, they're not done. And yeah, it's such a cool shift again of like there's more. Like there's more lacrosse, and we're, so thankful and so excited. For the future of all those teams that competed in championship weekend. But I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the big three either playing together or playing on different teams, playing against each other. And I'm sure they're maybe looking forward to it too. I always think it's fun to switch up teams and play against people that I haven't played against before. So,
Exactly. I think
definitely.
it'll be awesome competition for them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, looking into the future of women's lacrosse and of lacrosse in general, what do you think is on the horizon for us? What's next in terms of, any rules that you're looking to see, any changes to the game? What are some things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of controversy. I'm sure you've been in the midst of it, but about the draw, and I guess for the guys, the face-off. What is your opinion on all of that stuff? If you've kept up, like, getting rid of the draw or just having like a basketball, like inbound, type of thing. I've seen a lot of, talk about getting rid of it or just, tweaking it of some sort.
Yeah,
So maybe
so
that could be something that's changed in the future.
right,
I don't
yeah,
know.
the touchy subject. So I love the draw. I think not just in terms of it being a staple or monumental to the game, but there's something it's just the competition, like the sense of competition that we're battling for the ball. We're, you know, our teams are going up against each other, and the person who wins it, like, possession controls the game. I think that for the women's side of the game, wanting to eliminate the draw seems to be more for, I've seen people cite speed as a reason that they want to get rid of the draw, whereas on the men's side, it's a competition issue. So shout out to the women for, you know, all of us are dominating, making it fun, all those things. I'm just kidding. But I think some viewers took a lot of issue with TD Ireland being so dominant and being so good at the draw. And it's funny when, for people to say, oh, it's unfair, right? Like, this is competition. These are sports. Yeah. Like, this is what we do. And I saw a tweet, I wish I could remember who it was, but someone tweeted and said, you know, no one had an issue with him being so dominant when he was in Albany, but then when he's at Yale and, you know, a championship is on the line, all of a sudden there's an uproar. So, you know, I think that we need it. Competition is what drives us in sports, and there's really, I don't think there's a reason to get rid of the draw or the face-off. You know, we train and get better and maybe tweak other things that will help the season.
And it's an expertise, you know, it's a specialty in the game. Exactly. So I don't know how I feel about it, but yeah, I think keep it, you know, don't, you know, I don't think anything's broken with it, you know, besides, you know, people, you know, complaining about it. So, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? So I think it's fine for now until, you know, more people would get involved and stuff like that. But I think it's cool to be, you know, a draw specialist or a face-off specialist, you know. So I think that's, you know, something that a lot of sports don't have, you know, and in particular, you know, position that you can just be very, very good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
for sure.
I don't know.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I think to, you know, things like Draw Academy, Face Off Academy, all these athletes that are shaping the next generation of this really great specialized position. Like, the draw is hard. I sometimes take the draw for summer league.
It is very hard.
Speaking from all my years of experience taking the draw, it is hard. Your girl does not have hops, okay? If it's too far up there, it's not mine. And I've accepted that. I just get the ground balls. But it's fun. And I, yeah, so I hope that the draw sticks around. But I do have beef with some of the proposed Olympic rules, which I'm sure you've seen me tweet about. I don't think that the field needs to be smaller or we need less players. And they also want to get rid of the draw, which, you know, we've already covered. But it's just, yeah, those Olympic rules kind of rub me a little bit the wrong way. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the purpose of, I mean, I don't know how I feel about it either, but I think the purpose was to just make it faster and more, like, engaging for the fans that think the sport is slow.
Right.
Which I think fixed with the shot clock, you know, totally, when we added that a couple of years ago for the women. But, yeah, I think that would probably be the only reason to make the field smaller, stuff like that.
Sometimes my concern is, in a quest to make the game more appealing to the, you know, Olympic Committee or to viewers on TV, sometimes we may lose out on or forget that there are teams that won't necessarily be on those platforms that are still playing to these rules. So that's why I'm more of a fan of keeping the game as true to what we've kept it as, just because it comes down to, you know, players enjoying it and the people on the field being able to play the game the way they love to. So
yeah, I guess my only fear with, like, making too many changes too fast is that people would just, you know, like, hate it, you know, and they wouldn't be comfortable with it. Or, you know, you don't want to, like, you and I to be like, oh, back in the day when we played lacrosse like this, you know.
Right.
I think that's too, it's too soon. You know, if you're going to make these, you know, a lot of changes, like, do them over, like, a vast amount of time. You know, don't do them all of a sudden within 5-10 years.
Right.
Because then it really just changes the game. And you know, I don't know. So I think I agree with you on that for sure.
Yeah, not too many changes. We don't want to, like you said, look back and be like, back in my day, kids.
Yeah, definitely not. I don't want to ever be that old.
They're like, what's that? That's weird.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Tossed, that's awesome, yeah.
Toss the ball up to each other, and it was great. But, yeah, it's awesome, and I think the game is heading in such an awesome direction. It's just gonna continue to be more fun. I'm already looking forward to the next, obviously looking forward to these summer seasons, but the next NCAA season as well, just to see, you know, who comes out on top at the end, and be able to celebrate again, more amazing plays, more amazing players, and all the different accolades and things that they rack up. So it'll be good.
Definitely.
It'll be good.
I agree. Looking forward to it as well. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. Well, something that I've been asking, you know, anyone who's involved in lacrosse media is, you know, to our listeners who are listening, who have interest in working within the marketing realm or, you know, being content producers, what are some ways that you'd recommend for them to get involved and follow that path?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it depends with, you know, it depends what, you know, skill or I kind of do a lot of different things. You know, marketing can, you know, doesn't have to be digital media or social media based. It obviously has a lot to do with it because you're spreading the word. But when I first started, I really liked the digital media aspect of it. You know, I had a vlog, I had a YouTube channel, I made vlogs, still up there if anybody's bored. But I started off with that. And I kind of fell in love with, you know, being behind the camera and in front of the camera and kind of editing it to where you can make it entertaining, you know, to make it funny, really, and, you know, and draw the attention of your viewers. But I think to anyone that's interested in the marketing world or the sports marketing world, you know, look at other people that have done it, you know, like the WPLL or the PLL or even people like Katie DeFay or Kylie O'Miller, who, you know, are big names in our world and the lacrosse world that have done a good job of branding. But, you know, and getting involved and reaching out to people that you could even just mentor or just intern with, something like that, as simple as just reaching out, sending an email, sending a DM to somebody that, you know, you would like to shadow or go to an event with. I think it could be as simple as that, you know, to get your foot in the door and getting involved. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, especially reaching out. I think since the community is small, we, you know, to some extent have the luxury of being able to really connect and communicate with each other. You know, it's like when I thought of this podcast, so many amazing people reached out to me and I got to reach out to others and say, hey, I'm doing this thing and I'd love to have you on, or I'd love to get some tips on how I can really maximize this platform. So I think that's great to offer the olive branch and offer a helping hand and say, you know, if anyone needs advice, I'm here. So yeah,
and such a lacrosse world is such a, it's a big world, but a very small world at the same mm-hmm. time, you know, so networking is something that, you know, you can't take for granted. And really, like, we networked, you know, we've never met each other. I don't think we might have at some event. But
we will, though.
I don't
it's
know. We definitely will this summer. Yeah. But, you know, so things like this can happen when you just reach out and stay in touch with people over social media platforms. So it's definitely important to do that. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. It all loops back. Lacrosse Twitter has exploded.
Lacrosse Twitter. Yeah.
When we started on Twitter, it was, I don't even think lacrosse Twitter was a thing, but it's here and it's great.
I don't think so either, but hey, you started lacrosse Twitter, really, honestly. Come on. You got to give yourself some credit.
I'll give myself 25% credit. Yeah, I'll take some claim to it, but yeah, man, last Twitter, what a place. It's so fun. I love seeing everyone interact and all the things, and looking back to the networking, I feel like even in disagreements about the draw or the face off or all these different things that we all talk about, good things come out of it. You know, you make a friend, you make a new contact, you meet someone who either has a similar or different views than you, and the chain continues of just the game growing and more exposure to the game. So Lax Twitter.
Exactly. It's totally important.
Lax Twitter stealing our heart. So before you go, I got to ask, who were you rooting for in the championship and how did you feel about the outcome of the game?
Yeah. So I have some mixed opinions about who I was rooting for.
I love sports drama.
I know you love this. So actually, my younger sister is committed to play lacrosse at Maryland. But I also, we lost to Maryland my senior year at Stony Brook in a very controversial game, but the wound is still wide open. We won't talk about that this time. But I was rooting for Maryland for my sister. But honestly, I was there as more of, honestly, a true fan, not really, you know, dedicated to one team. It was such a good game, you know, so back and forth. I loved every second of being there and watching it. But I think, you know, there were some, you know, BC was very, you know, they were playing chippy and gritty and they were fighting for, you know, a title, which was awesome.
For
So was Maryland
sure.
as well. But I think what really, you know, like, I don't know, hurt them, but, you know, all the calls and the two yellow cards and then two of them fouled out. And I think that gave, in that moment of time, I think that gave Maryland a lot of opportunities to really step up and take control of the game at that point. But I think, like you said, you know, earlier in the podcast, that the refs were, you know, they were calling a pretty fair game, and which is important because sometimes that doesn't happen. And you know, I think they lucked out, lucky enough to, you know, have that in the title game. So, but I loved it, I really did. But I was rooting for Maryland for my
I
sister.
love the loyalty. Sisters are awesome. Oh, sisters are awesome. It's like, yeah, I don't
You
really like
have
this team and my little
to,
sister, blah blah blah. So you support and yeah, and congrats to your sister. That's amazing that she'll get to go to Maryland and continue the legacy. It won't put any pressure on her, but
yeah.
definitely gonna.
I'm excited for her. Yeah, she's got 2 more years left of high school, or 1 more year left of high school now. But yeah,
Yeah,
super
that's
excited
awesome.
for
And
that.
sorry to bring up a fresh wound from the loss. Did not mean to. But
No,
just
it's
know
okay.
I was rooting
No,
for
it's okay.
y'all.
No,
I was
it's
rooting for you
really
guys.
okay.
I was rooting for you.
No, look, Maryland is such a they're good.
Yeah.
They're a good team, and Kathy Reese is an unbelievable
Absolutely.
coach. You know, not no offense to
Absolutely,
any of
yeah.
them. You know, they deserve everything they've you know
I
they've
agree.
gotten. So,
I agree.
you know, they've created such a legacy there that
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
301 wins.
So,
That's crazy. And 14.
oh my gosh,
So
crazy,
wild,
yeah.
so wild, and it's awesome. And I was watching the video that she when she was giving her post game speech to her team, and telling them they're phenomenal. I felt like she was talking to me. I was like, oh, I'm phenomenal. Thank you, Coach Reese. Like I do feel phenomenal today.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so great to have these really positive female role models that are just owning sports and crushing it and showing that competition can be fun and rewarding and just the grit and hard work makes me want to be a better coach in my as I'm in my early coaching career and just a better role model and a better person, better friend, better teammate, all the things. So again, all I can come back to say is we're just so lucky to get to witness all this amazing stuff going on. So yeah.
I agree,
I'm excited. Yeah,
100%.
well,
Yeah.
Sam, thank you so much for joining me on episode number 4 of Shooting Space. I am so excited to see all the content for the WPLL and support all the teams and cheer everyone on, come to a game, finally get a chance to meet you. But yeah, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you again for being that strong, powerful voice, you know, in social media and especially on Twitter. So,
Much appreciated, much appreciated. And
yeah.
yeah, best of luck this weekend. Stay hydrated because it is warm out there. Yeah,
Yes, really.
and have a blast. Let us know how it is.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely will.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.